Norma says that Florida smells bad. If you didn't hear that.
I think Rhodey looks over and says,
it didn't used to.
I don't know. Depending on where you went, it did. I remember.
Okay. I think he just cocks an eyebrow at you. Like, where the heck have you been? You're more interesting than I thought you were.
And, yeah, I think they're just slowly making the... Because this is on the coast, so I would think that this is... He would probably know the way to wherever the... like, where he would have been trained and prepped for this mission to the moon. You know, like this, the like the space center or anything. I think as they continue on, I think he's gone very one track, I think, because it's getting to that point where he's starting to crack.
Mm-hmm.
And in his mind, he recalls that the kitchen staff there at the Space Center served some of the most amazing food, and for his own reasons, he is determined to get there.
That makes sense. Okay. So then how about we have you guys, Daniel, you're able to dock the ship. Maybe in your mind, it's not that different from a spaceship, so you're able to rush,
I make
get up
work,
against the dock,
you know,
a little bit. But
there's
cares?
Bumpers,
like, no, there's
on these
here.
Docks, you know, like it doesn't have to be seaworthy after we make it, you know.
So then what we'll do, one of you guys can decide, well, with Hannah excluded, I'll explain in a second, but we can decide where you guys want to go to try and experience your moments. And whoever wants to go first, we can have them roll the next conflict roll to get that moving along.
I think Daniel would be like trying to force us to go a certain way through town. Like, yes, maybe we're trying to go to the Space Center, but he's trying to like stop by a very specific part of town on the way.
Well, let's find a car
between us and there. Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of abandoned cars around.
There are so many abandoned cars. So many.
Need to find like a Jeep that can really go off road, you know.
So are you saying that you want me to roll again?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, here we go. That's 1-6 and 1-1, so we're down to 3 dice if I succeed.
And I didn't get a single one.
You did get a 6.
All right. What do you find, Andrew?
All right. So Daniel is kind of looking around. He's scanning, and he sees a truck. It's a truck that looks like it is in good shape. It doesn't look like it was crashed or anything. It looks like it was literally just... somebody left, just abandoned the vehicle. They didn't leave the doors open, so the battery's not dead. They just got out of their car and, for whatever reason, you know, just closed the doors and left. And luckily enough, he gets in there and there's still a key, not like turned on in the ignition, but just in the ignition. And he turns it on and this truck rumbles to life. And he gets into the driver's seat and looks at everyone else and just says, all right, looks like we were lucky, folks. Let's get going.
All right, I'm going to hop in like the truck bed.
Okay.
I don't want to be in the truck with you people.
I want to hop in the truck bed too.
I think as you hop into the truck bed, I think Rhodey says, you're actually supposed to sit up front, but you can stay back here, I guess.
But you got back here, so I thought that's where we were supposed to sit, but it's okay.
Dalton will sit in the passenger seat with Daniel. Right. He doesn't want to hang out with the criminal.
Shotgun.
I like the criminal.
Yes, you do. He doesn't.
This is like a truck. This is like a, you know, like a consumer truck, not like a work truck. So it's got like
Ford
a cab with like other seating. So
I figured it was like a 2-seater instead of like a 4-seater.
No, it's a 5-seater. Yeah. It's a 5-seater.
Okay, sure.
Ooh,
but you guys decided to sit in the truck.
I don't
want to
be in the car with you guys.
For my own reasons, it needs to be a 5-seater.
Okay, that makes sense.
Ooh, okay. Okay, cool. All right, then Andrew, tell us where you go, and then we can see if we can get that moment experience.
Okay. So Daniel drives to the commercial part of this city kind of near Cape Canaveral. I don't know my geography very well. I don't know exactly how this all plays out, but whatever city's in that area, we've like come onto shore there and we're driving through town, and Daniel actually knows where he's going. He left here, you know, a week or two ago to start his job up on the moon base, and he is driving to a hotel in town where his wife and children are supposed to be staying. And it's been days. He has no clue if they're still there, but all he can do is hope against hope that they are still here, holding out, waiting, maybe even.
Ooh, okay. So in a second, we will try to experience Daniel's moment, but does anyone want to say or do anything first?
No, I'm good. I'm going to wait on my moment. I'm good.
I need this car. I have a sneaking suspicion about yours.
I need this car.
He's waiting too because he... He also needs this car for his moment. Oh boy, that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
Is it my turn yet?
Can we just have like a conversation about something?
Yeah, sure. we can have a conversation on the way. We can like open up a little like
roleplay the heck out of it.
Well, yeah. Me and the criminal are in the truck bed.
Did you ever learn his name?
It's
Rhodey.
It's on my
Well, number. I don't know if they introduce each other though. Is the question?
Yeah. Mm.
I didn't ask your name.
Yeah, I
but
think
you
as
can see mine.
Sitting, I think as they're sitting in the truck bed, she goes, "I'm Norma, by the way."
Hey.
You got a name?
He taps his jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah. I noticed you got the special mark.
He smiles.
What'd you do to get that?
They think I'm dangerous.
I mean, you seem pretty okay to me.
He smiles again.
Why do they think you're dangerous?
I'm dangerous.
So they think you're dangerous or you are dangerous?
Yeah. You really want a confession out of this guy.
Yup. I just like her answer, or his answer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, kid, you mind if I ask you something?
Sure.
Where's your folks?
I think she kind of like squirms a little bit and she's like, well, we got into a fight and I left. And then, you know, everything happened with the creatures, so they're probably... And she just kind of, like, trails off.
Hmm.
He nods.
So maybe at about this time, you feel the truck beginning to slow down, and you two turn around, and you see this really tall building. Andrew, do you have a name for the hotel?
The hotel.
The Sunrise... Hotel. The Sunrise Inn, because it's on the east coast of Florida.
Okay, yeah.
The H Hotel.
Based on that
name,
no.
Even better. It's called the Sunrisin. So it's like
Sunrisin.
They should really change the name, though.
That's
like
good.
With an apostrophe at the end.
They should change the name.
If this was D&D, I'd give you inspiration.
Sounds like exactly the kind of like kitschy thing that would be in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, based on the name, I think it's less of a high-rise hotel and a little closer to an Airbnb. Not that much, but it kind of feels got more of a quaint cottagey vibe. There's maybe like 3 floors in total. It's very pretty. It's probably next to a place you do mini golf by the beach, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
for sure.
That kind of place. So you get there, you pull in, you see a lot of abandoned cars as per usual, some dead bodies lying around, some looking a little more dry than the ones you'd seen in outer space. Ugh. That's weird way to describe it, but probably
gross.
The best visual indicator. And you see several broken windows, blood everywhere. You're used to it, the whole shebang at this point.
Yeah, we've
it's got
to
be scaring him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel is immediately panicked. He doesn't say anything. He just starts running into the hotel.
All right. So I think you know what I need from you, Andrew.
Yes.
You've got 3 D6s. And this will determine whether or not you can live your moment.
Like, this is my only shot?
Well, you can, of course, burn a trait or something. But yes, this
but
is the moment of whether you succeed or fail.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy, let's find out. We're supposed to be sad by the time this ends.
Oh, and he got 2 sixes.
Oh, no, Andrew. Oof.
I am not.
Do not let momentary flames of caprice and enthusiasm destroy your long-standing commitment.
I got A6. That's still a success, but you get to narrate, right?
Yes, but there is a mechanic I was leaving out until it was relevant. So can do, you can steal narration from me by purposely darkening one of the candles. So if you end the scene right now, you get to narrate and you steal it.
Hell yes. I am doing that. I'm going to tell you why. So I was going to wait for like a debrief to really go over this, but I went like virtue, vice, moment. My virtue was focused. Like I was only going to do things that got us back to Earth in Florida. My vice is selfish. At the very first opportunity, I was going to sacrifice people or like do whatever I had to get my moment. And then my moment was what's about to happen. So I'm not directly screwing over the party, I guess, but kind of mechanically I am. So.
Did you leave the keys in the car?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I didn't care enough. I have something I got to do.
Left the keys in the car and you're in the truck bed. Oh,
we're splitting the party
the card
again.
I have an
idea. Oh my gosh, I have an
idea. Strikes again.
You let a momentary flame.
All right, this is Andrew's moment.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, let's give this to Andrew.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I want to hear her card. It sounds relevant.
Oh, it's the one that I read you earlier, the Lovers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Lovers. Okay.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
All right, Andrew, the stage is yours.
Yes. It could be whatever I want, so...
To an extent, like she's not in there with like a machine gun, like let's take back this planet.
Yeah, I know. Daniel runs into this kind of like Airbnb style hotel. Since it's like an actual like hotel, I think maybe it's like a couple like smaller buildings, you know, kind of set up as like little like seaside shacks almost, but like nice ones. And he's like running, he like darts into the office and like scans the register to like see like exactly which one his family might be in if they're still here. And he kind of like sees the map of the compound and sees that they're in room 7A. And he starts running in that direction, not like caring if the rest of the group is still there or not. And he runs over there and he's like calling out as he goes. He's like, Kelsey, Ron, Ashley. And he's like, you know, running towards this unit, and he like bangs on the door and he's not hearing anything, and he just like frantically like tries the handle and then just kicks the door in. All of a sudden he hears like a sound from like a back room, like maybe like hiding in like a closet or something, and he prepares for it to be something, and then all of a sudden his wife is like coming out of the room scared, holding like a table leg or something as like a bat. And she sees him and they embrace and his kids come out and he hugs his family one last time, which was his moment.
Oh, that's really so. I feel terrible at what I'm going to do to you guys later.
Yeah. And he is there with his family and he is just there with them and hugging them and telling them, you know, daddy's here, you know, kissing his wife, so on and so forth.
Oh, that's precious.
Oh, man.
They're all gonna die.
Everyone's gonna die.
Let me know what you want to do here, but it sounds like you have stepped out of the story. Like you were going to end here with your family. Is that correct?
I think so, because otherwise I would just be following the group around with my family, and I think I know at this point that like this is the end. So I think I'm stepping out of the story. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Ah, gosh. So what you can actually do. You can kill your character. Narratively, you are out of the game.
Yeah.
So you can give your hope die to another player if they were... Yeah, you can work it in narratively. Maybe say, like, Ohana means family. And, like, one of them super inspired. And they get your hope die.
Oh, man, this is hard. So Susanna is making,
so Hannah
like,
already has
puppy
one,
dog
so it's probably
eyes
one of the other two.
At me. She looks like she wants it real bad.
I want it more.
Can I
Wesley,
die?
Do you have... Do you have anything you can do to try to make me upset my wife?
Yeah, opening
my real wife, not my fake one.
I thought you were going to ask Susanna what she could do to earn.
I can earn it, Andrew.
That would be cheating,
Wesley. I know that this is like meta and outside of the actual game, but I think I can work it in narratively for Susanna to have my hope die.
Of course.
Okay.
I was going to steal your car. So.
And that's what I was about to say. So I think what happens is, like, my character bolts, and you can tell that he is not paying any attention. He doesn't seem to care. Like, he has forgotten about the rest of you, and he's gone. But I will say Dalton is the one in the cab, but maybe he's not thinking about that.
Oh, no,
yet,
I am.
So.
I definitely am thinking about
waited.
That.
He probably is, but I'm going to move as soon as he gets out of the car.
Conflict.
Fight.
So
fight.
I will say,
fight.
Like,
either
before,
way, the candle's darkened. So
yeah, the candle's darkened. One thing I will say before we move on from my character, like, I just imagine that, like, you know, I'm sitting there hugging and just like being with my family, And I think, like, we're just going to cut from there. We don't really know exactly what their fate is. We know it's not good, but for at least the time being, he's got his family with him and can spend whatever last moments they have. So.
Aww.
And if you want, Andrew, we will come back at the very end. And if you want to narrate the end, you can. You will have, since you killed yourself getting your moment, you have complete narrative control. I can't.
All right. Awesome. I really am very happy that it happened for me. I was very worried for a long time with how the speed was picking up.
So the candle darkens, and we get two truths now. I don't want to steal your guys' truth, so how about this? I'll say these things are true, the world is dark, and then you three remaining players can fight amongst which of you two get the truths, okay?
Can it be the two of us that haven't had our moment yet?
That would make sense in order, that's fine because with me. It normally goes with you, Jonathan.
I think one of the truths should be that you guys get in a fight. That's all.
I want to fight, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Wesley. What's your
go choice? For it.
Darned if you do, darned if you don't. These things are true. The world is dark. I'm excited for this conflict.
The moment that Daniel slams the door and bolts into the building, Dalton immediately jumps into the driver's seat, turns the key, revs the truck out of the parking lot, and he is heading straight for the Space Center right now, and he is the pedals to the metal.
Every truck I've ever been in has a back window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. As you do that, Rhodey bashes out the back window with the wrench and reaches inside and grabs your gun and points it into your ribs.
Oh.
And we are alive.
So
now,
if you guys don't mind, I'd like to get a little bit of Norma's perspective right now.
Yeah.
I feel like she's
I have
has
some
the most
RP to do with this, by the way.
Oh, I have some too, believe me.
How about I'll just be quiet. It sounds like there's a lot for you guys to unpack.
I feel like she wants to pull a card right now, but she is desperately holding on to the truck for dear life because she's still in the bed of the truck.
That sounds appropriate.
And she's like, just focus on the cards, just focus on the cards, you know, like, holding on to the bed of the truck, trying not to fall out. And I think she kind of, like, screams when she hears the glass shatter, like, just as a reaction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she's literally, because, like, is Rhodey, like, half in, half out of the window, essentially? Or did he crawl all the way through?
He only crawled in enough to pull the gun out and hold it up against him.
Okay. I think she's just, like, watching, but making sure she's not in any way near to close to the trajectory of the gun. You know what I mean? Like, staying behind Rhodey in the bed of the truck.
Backing up.
Yeah.
Rhodey just says, pull over.
I feel the cold metal against everything, and I very suddenly pull over and stop, and I turn to you and I say, what are you doing?
He pulls the rifle out of the back of the truck and then stands up and hops off the back of the truck and says, I'm keeping this.
And he kind of, his eyes go wide and he's like, he raises a hand as if he's about to, like, snatch at it, and then his hand just drops and he's like, duh. No one cares anymore. And he'll keep on unless
Are you gonna give her a chance to do something?
I'm still in the bed of the truck.
I was gonna say, what does Norma want to do?
Yeah, what does Norma do?
I'm still in this. Don't just drive off.
I could though. You'd be stuck with me.
Yeah, you could. You're with me, kid. This is like the last of us.
So Rhodey gets out, and I think Norma also gets out because she's like, okay, we're all gonna get out and talk about this. And so she starts shuffling through her cards because that's what she does when she's nervous.
Uh-huh.
And he starts walking away.
And Rhodey says, I'm keeping this or whatever. And he says, fine. And she's like, I pull temperance. Temperance urges you to pursue success through balance and moderation. Avoid rash decisions or extreme solutions, as well as timidity or excessive smugness.
Mm.
Okay.
Rhodey smiles as he's starting to walk away, and he lifts a fist in the air, and he writes, balance, and then holds up the gun, moderation.
And then maybe when you do that, you hear the tires peeling as Wesley, like, drives away.
Rhodey, wait up! I guess I'm coming with you.
You can go with Wesley if you want.
Well, she already jumped out of the car. And,
I meant him. Jonathan.
Mm. Oh, right.
Oh,
like,
okay. Yeah,
him.
I was about to ask who wanted to go first. So the camera follows Dalton. Okay, what are you doing, Dalton?
I am heading, based on where I am, I know exactly where I'm going. I am going to the...
Okay.
I'm going to the Space Center because of my own reasons.
Okay.
And because he knows that certain things would have been stocked for a very long time, including food. So...
I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's like the camera's following, but then like behind him, you might see as he gets further and further away from the lights, you know, it seems like the clouds are like encroaching on him or following him or something.
Right.
And it's like, this would be where you'd put in something like, you know, Carry On Wayward Son or something.
Don't you die no
yeah,
more.
And he's and this is like the full thing. He's like, he tests the radio to see if it's still working. Of course there's nothing on anymore.
You can roll if you want to see.
No, I'm not rolling for a radio.
Yeah, that was a trap.
I'm not rolling for a radio, but he tries the radio out of habit, nothing happens. So then he's like, he's burning all the fuel, but he's singing rather off-key some old rock and roll song he used to sing in the barracks with his unit. And he's, like, doing the ceiling pump of the fist, you know, he's pounding.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, like, he's the only sound in this whole thing because it's all dark and dead and nothing. But I think he's treating this as, like, I'm gonna die in style.
I get that. And as you're driving, you're kind of going through the part of the city where all the hotels and all the tourist traps were. And occasionally you will see a head peek out of the homes. You do see there's some homes where there are these garbage fires burning the lawn. And a couple of very weak, like, overhead street lights, just very dimly glowing. And you see a couple of people gathered in there just kind of curiously watching you, peeking out through their boarded windows. But no one says anything, no one tries to stop you. And as you said, as you travel further and further, the light becomes dimmer and dimmer until all that's left are just the glow from your headlights as you approach the Space Center. I think it's where you're going,
yes,
right?
Yes, but I'm not going to, like, Mission Control where they fired the... where they launched the rockets or anything like that. He is going into... I don't even know if this is a real thing, but don't they have to, like, live there on campus, I guess, for a while to be trained and everything?
I mean, if not, at the very least, they're there during the day, so
yeah.
There would
still be a cafeteria.
Yeah. And he's going to try the door, and I'm assuming it's not locked, is it?
We'll say no, but I will ask you, how are you keeping the area around you lit as you're traveling inside
the building? I'd like to think that being a military guy, he would have had at least one flashlight on him.
I think that's fair, especially when you've had like 2 days to travel. I think that's
I actually have something for this that might help out.
Yes.
I imagine that living on a moon base would be very similar to living on an actual ship. And on a ship, you should always have a flashlight on you in case the power goes out, because you could be in the middle of the ship, not anywhere near the hull, like no natural light would get there, and you need a way to still see before any kind of emergency
lights
come on.
That's a good point.
So imagine on like a moon base, it could be the same thing where like you should always have some kind of artificial light on you in case power goes out.
Yeah, maybe...
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Maybe he's got a handheld flashlight, and if he doesn't, maybe he's got like a headlamp in his pack or something that he puts on. It's got this white light.
Yeah. So you begin exploring the cafeteria, or inside the moon, not the moon base, the Space Center, and you've been noticing as you've been traveling further and further from the light, there's been this buzzing in the back of your head. And it's been building in intensity. You occasionally think you see a flash of red in your rearview mirror, but it's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. And now that you're by yourself inside this room, you can see just several sets of red eyes falling. You hear like, you turn around with the light. They stop. They cower back. They seem to shrink into the shadows. But as you were getting closer to the cafeteria, you have a whole, it seems like, entourage following you, and they're just dying to meet you.
Can I just say that I just realized we forgot to play on their weakness like this entire time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
We did.
Their weakness?
Yes, you still have the road flares.
Right,
they're weak to light.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten.
Oh, right.
Which is why they always came when the lights died.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we kind of flirted with it, but we could have gone.
I intentionally.
No, it was fun. I liked it.
No, I think that he would have tried the lights by reflex, and of course they don't work.
I think Susanna is one of them.
Unless
foreshadowing?
Unless who knows? I don't know. Do I want to use a roll to see if the power in here works?
Why don't you roll?
You probably should save your roll for your moment.
Okay. Yeah. He sees they're following him, but he makes sure that the light is focused towards them.
Yeah.
Not before I get one more. You red-eyed devils. And he's backing up. He backs up through the door into the kitchen. And...
okay.
And I think what you see in this kitchen is, once again, everything is empty, but it's empty as in a ghost town, so everything is still here. And he,
I don't know, people might have taken food with them.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Probably did, some food, but this is, like, meant to feed a ton of people. So he goes to the big freezers, and he's looking for one very particular item.
All right, Wesley. You know what we need from you.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and roll. Okay, I got 1-6.
And how many do I have again?
You three need dice. To beat me by right. one. Yeah,
how many dice does he have?
So you'll probably need to burn a candle, most likely.
Ooh.
Okay. So that is a fail. You can choose to burn a virtue or vice to reroll the one, but you'll still lose. So if you want to darken the candle, we can describe your moment and immediately end your scene. Or I can narrate for you, whatever you prefer. I'll do a really good job.
I would rather have my moment and end scene than you possibly killing me before I get it.
I wouldn't kill you. I would just make you suffer.
Yes, but you wouldn't give me my moment, and I want it.
That's a good GM.
It would only
answer.
Be
right?
a certain type of the thing that isn't real.
No, I will burn the candle.
You burn the candle, and Wesley or Dalton, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I think he finds this, like, holy grail in a back corner. He finds a box of frozen beef patties, and he lugs it out to the counter, and while he's in there, he's picked up all the trimmings for the best cheeseburger of his life, because this is his moment. The one thing he wanted was the perfect cheeseburger, and he turns on the big range, and I would like to think that it's like it's dark, but then there's this small red flame that licks up, and even the red eyes back off, and because he sees this flame, like his face is underlit by these lights, as he is just very calmly and very efficiently, I think his first job before he was ever a military man, his first summer job was flipping burgers at some hole in the wall. He's thinking over all this, and he's looking up at them as he's doing this, and he's so good at it, he's not even looking as he's putting the finishing touches on this, but he looks up at these eyes that are just waiting to pounce on him, and he says, "You might take my life, but you're not taking my last meal." And he will just calmly stand there behind the stove, and, you know, there's no plates or anything, he's not going to search for a plate, so he's out of time. And he's built this, and it's like a commercial burger, right? You could put this on a commercial and everyone would want it. Mm-hmm. It's got everything. It's got the onions. It's got the beef. It's got the cheese. Like, he doubled up on the cheese. Maybe even doubled up on the patty, right?
Yeah, indulge yourself.
It's like the stack is extremely high. He just takes this. He doesn't have time to let it even cool down, so he's just gripped it very tightly, still burning hot. And he says, "I'll be with you in a minute." And he just opens his mouth and sinks his teeth into this burger. Mm. And he is now content. He can die happy now. He can die happy. And I think as he's going through this burger, you can see the flashlight and even the headlamp. I would think that the proximity of so many multiples has caused these, since they're the only light sources, they're dying even faster. And I think, like, he just finishes and it's like a dim, dim light. And then he stands, and he doesn't have his rifle anymore because someone stole it.
Oh, who was that?
But I did say he did possess, I did say he had a K-bar, like a combat knife. I'd like to think he has two of them. He wipes his mouth with the back of his hand, stands behind the range, reaches into his belt, pulls the two knives. He says, "Come at me." And it goes black.
Ooh. Okay. Very nice, Wesley. Very beautiful moment. You made me very hungry.
Yeah. So I know, right? I'm sitting here like, man, I want a cheeseburger.
Yeah, seriously. It's getting kind of late. I need some food. So narratively, if you will accept this as well, Wesley, you will be considered dead for the rest of this. So we will focus on Rhodey and Norma for these last. Because you just burned that candle for the final two candles. All right. But you and Andrew had some excellent moments. Andrew's made me really sad, and yours made me really hungry.
Yeah. And there's only one more truth that gets to get said, right?
Rhodey's break.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and say the next one. These things are true. The world is dark. And now, which one of you wants to tell the truth?
Susanna's the one that still needs to do her moments, so I'll give it to Susanna.
Okay.
We're going to make it to my destination.
Where are we going, buddy?
Actually, if we want to like talk, we can while we're on our way. Do you have any questions?
Was that just the whole truth? Just so we make it to your destination?
Yeah.
And they are alive.
Oh. Okay.
All right, so Norma is with the convicted criminal.
It probably takes us like maybe like an hour or two to get where I want to go.
So you park the car and start walking?
Well, he took the car.
Yeah, so I took walking.
Right.
I know where I'm going. We're actually not far from where I wanted to go, so I also come from Canaveral.
Oh, great. Okay.
I think Norma is like panting because gravity. Mm-hmm. And like not very much long after they start, like 5 minutes in, she's like, "So, where are we going?"
Say an old friend.
You think they're still alive?
I hope so.
How far are they?
And he kind of looks at it and he says, "Oh, maybe an hour or two."
Okay. She braces herself.
You don't have to come with me.
Well, I don't really know what else to do. I don't know anyone on Earth.
Suit yourself.
As we get closer to my destination, I think Rhodey will turn to Norma and say,
"Hey, you want to do me one last reading?"
She like lights up. She's like, "Oh my gosh, someone actually wants me to read a card for them." Okay. She shuffles her cards. Oh my gosh.
Death.
She looks at it. She looks back at Rhodey and she shows it to him and it's the devil.
Oh, wow.
Excellent.
We could just end right there.
Rhodey smiles.
She says, "So, the devil dares you to break free of an unhealthy attachment, but you must be patient with yourself because the devil can feed on self-hatred."
Oh, I've been patient.
Okay, well, if you've been patient, then, you know, you should be good. Just be careful. Are you planning to break an unhealthy attachment?
I am.
Then this is good for you. She gives him a smile.
It will be.
Oh boy.
All right. I think a little while later we arrive at our destination. It is a simple sort of one-story suburban house in an unassuming neighborhood. And I think as we arrive closer, I think we can see there's a light on in the window.
Okay.
I kind of come up to the door and I knock on the door.
All right.
Seems like a good time to roll.
Yes, I was just about to call for that.
Let's see if I can actually do this or if I'm just going to have to burn a candle.
My army of 8 six-sided die.
Yeah, I know, right?
666.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I literally can't do it.
Want to burn that candle?
666 on the devil card?
Spooky.
Well, I didn't, but I'm going to burn a candle anyway, so.
Oh, they're naked in that picture. Ah.
Yes, they are.
Wasn't expecting that.
You can see the, their private parts.
All right. So, Susanna, Rhodey, you get full narration, whatever happens when you open that door. And then we will go to our final scene.
I think Rhodey knocks on the door and he can hear noises inside. And he turns around to Norma and says,
"Close your eyes."
And then turns back around and doesn't care whether she does
or
not.
So he's leaving her outside of the house?
Yeah. He's just like, you're standing like behind him on the doorstep.
Yeah.
And he says, close your eyes.
I don't think she closes her eyes, but I think she does kind of move to like.
Yes.
Sit, like, if there's like a porch, like sit on the porch with her back like to the wall so she's facing the opposite direction.
Okay. A couple seconds later, the door opens and reveals a man that looks like he's probably about Rhodey's age. And he opens the door, confused, wondering who's knocking on his door, and then looks in horror at Rhodey. And Rhodey gives him a big grin and says, "Hello, Elijah." And then he shoots him in the leg. And then he grabs, as the guy falls on the ground, he grabs him and drags him into the house and shuts the door behind him. And then pulls out his... Yeah, he doesn't... He doesn't care about Norma. He pulls out his large wrench and finishes him off. I won't get too descriptive.
Shot to the head?
No, with the wrench. Several hits. But eventually, he emerges from the house and shuts the door behind him. His body just, like, soaked in blood. And he, like, walks into the street and, like, looks up at the sky. And he says, "I'm ready."
Okay. Well, Hannah, do you want to give a brief reaction for your character, or do you want us to go to the final scene?
I think she's just kind of sitting there in a little bit of shock, but also she's like, it's the end of the world, I guess. You
know? Maybe I should have gone with Dalton. This guy seems a little sus.
She's like, maybe I should have just stayed at the hotel, or maybe I shouldn't have tried to sneak on the spaceship in the first place, but we're here now, so we just have to accept it.
I really do like how we just had descending degrees of messed up with all of your guys' moments. Because Andrew's with his family, Wesley ate a burger while dueling monsters, and you just, well, you Elijah'd him, I guess.
I murdered a man.
He un-Elijah'd him.
That's good.
Beautiful.
All right, our final truth. These things are true. The world is dark.
And we are alive.
So we are now in the very final moment. The sky becomes darker as you stare up into the heavens, Rhodey. And as you say you're ready, it's almost as if something answers. The wind howls around you, and the very few trash fires that were around the town are snuffed out, and the last couple of lights flicker out. And then strangely enough, out of the sky, this thin bead or beam of moonlight just shoots out, just barely illuminating the area around you, as you see scores. So all four of you now see scores of eyes. Well, okay, let's correct that. Dalton, you already had scores of red eyes around you, but everyone else, you see scores of red eyes appear around you as these creatures begin heading towards you. So what's going to happen now? You guys can try and survive. I will not be rolling against you, but you will keep going until you fail your roll. So most likely you'll fail immediately, but you are free to struggle in vain if you so wish.
I have a question.
I know, right? Isn't that so delightful?
So I was yeah. told, I don't know if this happens to all of us, but you said back when I did mine that because I kind of took myself out that I would get to narrate my death scene. And I have an idea.
Shoot,
I have an idea, though. Like, I don't think this is going against anything
you're
saying.
I also have an idea.
I was thinking that...
I guess technically all of you have narration control, don't you?
I think except candles. For me.
Except for Hannah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have fun with your character then.
Okay, I think that what happens for Daniel and his family is they like he meets them in the he meets them in the hotel room and they decide to stay there. You know, they shut the broken door and they are low or completely out of food at this point. But he is just so happy to see them and him, and they just get in the bed together and just snuggle together and fall asleep together. Aww. And I don't think they even see what comes for them. I think that they are taken in their sleep and never see it coming.
Gotcha.
Wow. I'm taking the easy out. I'm sorry.
I can totally imagine Like maybe you hear thudding on the door or something. She like close her eyes.
Yeah,
honey,
don't worry.
Okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
Do we want to do Wesley's next? Because I do have an idea
Yeah, I think we should do Wesley's next. That's
So Wesley, yours was kind of inconclusive. You can just have it cut to black if you want, or you can have them like sucking you dry.
Oh no,
or
I
something.
Have an idea.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Lay it on us.
I said that I pulled the knives as the these things are going at me.
Yes.
So I think by the light of the stove top, which is still burning, it's a gas stove, you're seeing this struggle, this fight, you're seeing the light is catching the knives as he's fighting. And there, you know, there's cries and screeches and this buzzing sound, and a couple of them fall, but eventually they get him, and he turns as like one of them gets him in like a leg or something, so he's like on his knees, but he's trying to work his way around the around back to the range top, because what he does is they're on his back, they're tearing him to pieces, but what he does is with his last resolve he reaches into a pocket and he pulls a matchstick.
Ooh.
And he finds like maybe it's on the like tiled floor of the of the room. He strikes the match, and this leaps up, and it's not even enough to cause them to run. But they're about to take him down. But he just turns. He just calls out. He says, "Tell the devil that I sent all of you," and he like flicks it so that it catches the pilot light under the stove. Mm-hmm. and of course the gas, whoosh, and it's like there's this, it's a fireball, it's like they're like everything in there is roasted, including himself. He's gone, but he's just taken out a ton, if not all, of these creatures.
They'll remember you for sure.
Yeah,
that's cool. So now, which one of you ladies wants to go first? Okay.
So I think this kind of like takes off the last second where he says, he looks up and says, "I'm ready," and then he turns around to where Norma is still sitting, and he says, "Hey, kid."
Yeah.
World's ending.
Yeah.
We're all gonna die.
Yeah.
I can make it fast for you.
Oh,
jeez.
He likes Norma.
We're gonna need to definitely put some more.
Oh yeah, this is gonna have some warnings.
Trigger warning.
Just have all the warnings.
Dead miners. Yeah. Dead everyone, actually.
I think Norma just kind of looks down, like sadly, and shuffles her cards for what she, you know, assumes is the last time.
Mm-hmm.
But she's looking for an answer in the cards. So let's see.
I think he's actually... Hang on, before you do that, I think he actually walks over to her and puts his hand on top of the card.
Oh?
And he says, "No. What do you want?"
What do you mean?
What do you want? Not what your cards tell you.
I mean, the choices are die or die, so...
Fast or slow?
She kind of, like, looks up at him and nods and says... Fast.
He just says... Yeah, all right. And says, "Turn around."
Man.
Okay. Norma turns around and closes her eyes.
And he pulls the trigger.
Gosh.
She probably never even hears it.
Boom. Well,
also,
yeah. So Norma
also, wait,
is...
I have to say this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The card that Norma pulled on the top of her deck that she never saw, but still the card, is the sun. And it says, The sun suggests that the answer to your question is plainly before you, like a shining light.
You know what? I think maybe she like drops the cards.
Whoa.
And that's the one that's like on top, and he just picks it up to see what it would have been.
Yeah.
With a bit of blood splattered on it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, it's so good.
And he just smiles.
That's intense, man.
And he drops the gun. And he walks back out into the road and looks up at the sky. The darkness above him.
Are we going to get to hear what these things actually look like?
I'm going to let Jonathan take over from here.
Yeah.
What do you think happens?
Okay. Well, that's a great question.
My poor Norma, man.
You guys give me a lot to work with. So, like I said, the sky darkens. There is just the thinnest beam of moonlight cutting through the clouds. And you see dozens, if not hundreds, of eyes approach you. And then out of the darkness appears this long, spindly creature. It doesn't quite look right. The geometry of its body, the shape of it, the contortion, it's all slightly wrong. But it makes sense in a way as well that your mind can't quite comprehend. You see, I'm kind of ribbing on Lovecraft right now. And the creatures regard you with their eyes all across their body. They approach you. They circle around you. They bend down before you. And then the light goes out and everything is gone.
Well, I don't know if you're going to hear this, Kelsey, but I just want you to know that I love you. Tell Ronald and Ashley that I'm going to be there. I'm going to find you all. I'm going to see you again. Just one more time. I promise.
This is Commander Dalton Stryker. I'm not honestly sure what is going to happen now. In all likelihood, we're going to end up smears on the hull, but Major Miles, I want to say that I was proud to serve under you, and if I could have one last wish, I would kill for a cheeseburger.
All right, I don't know what's going on. I'm sending you this message in case you get it, so you'll know it's coming. So you'll know I'm coming. I'm gonna find you again, I promise. I'm gonna find you, Elijah. I'm coming back.
To whoever finds this, I have one last reading. I pulled for you the Empress. The Empress calls on you to confront a challenge through kindness, openness, and generosity, but you must be careful not to let others use your goodwill for selfish purposes. Okay? Okay.